Before we get started, let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your presence in our lives, whether we accepted you or not. We just thank you for always being there, for being the constant in such a shaky world, Lord. God, I pray that each and every one of us have come to know you as our Heavenly Father and that we accept the gift of salvation that you've given us. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds as we look at your scripture, Lord, and I just pray that we can get some truth from it and apply it to our lives. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read a decent amount of it. For those of you all that don't know, I got a new Bible for Father's Day. So I preach out of ESV for right now because I absolutely love this Bible. I hope it doesn't mess you up. If it does, I'll go back to the NIV or whatever you're comfortable with. But I really like the wording that's found in there. And it's a little bit tricky to read at times, but it's not too hard. So where we're at in the scripture, I want to catch you up if you haven't been following along with us. Paul kind of told you a little bit before, Moses has died, right? And now Joshua gets the tap. He's the general now. He's ready to go. And so God comes to him and says, look, everyone has passed away that I said had to pass away before we could go into the promised land. So now is the time, right? And that's what we read in chapter 1. Now is the time. And then, so he tells them in 3 days, get ready, we're going. And they come and they get to this Jordan River. And I told you, can you imagine their excitement and their fear all kind of wrapped up into one? They have this literal river between them and what they've been promised. I mean, for 40 years, they've been wandering around this wilderness waiting for that specific moment. And then the Lord says, take the Ark of the Covenant. Put me out before you. The waters will stand still. And it does. And the Ark, they go out and they stand in the waters and it stops. And they walk across. How many times have the Israelites experienced this where God says, I will go before you and I will do a miracle and they will only know that it was me that made you who you are. And I said, you know, we come to life and we have these personal Jordans. We come and we have this thought, like, I can't get across that. Because remember, the Jordan was that swell. It was overflowing. And they couldn't get through there. And we come to that spot in life and God says, just take one more step. Watch me. Just take one more step and see what happens. And that's what they did. They took a step and the water stopped. They crossed over on dry land again. So now here they are. They've crossed over, and they're coming to the first city. All right, their first city that they are to capture, and that's Jericho. I got a couple of pictures I want you to see of this picture of Jericho, if it will work. If not, that's okay. Yeah, go to one more. All right, so here's what I want you to know about Jericho. This is very, very important to me and for you. I'm a very visual learner. I have to see it, do it, feel it. You know, don't tell me how to do something. Let me look at it. Alright, so down there, you see where the Israelites are, the little bitty people? There's a retaining wall. It's 12 feet high. And then above that is a 20 foot high wall that is 6 foot thick. And then there's this embankment. Alright? This illustration doesn't show what the next one does, but there's this embankment. And then there's another 20-foot high wall. All right, so if you're keeping score, we got about 52 feet of wall, not counting the embankment, okay? And you can see the Israelites walking around. Go to the next picture for me. I don't know if you can see that very well, but that's kind of what it looks like, all right? It's like a big NASCAR. Y'all don't like NASCAR? All right, so it's like a big track, though, okay? And there's an outer wall. And then see that embankment in the middle? There were houses there. That was probably the lower income real estate. So there's houses there. And then there's the upper wall. And then there's the city. Okay? And it's speculated, and I don't think you can refute it, that Rahab's house is somewhere in between the walls. Okay? Very, very easy access. I would say it's probably close to the ramp. Very easy access in and out. just my guess. You know, there's not like a location that says, hey, this was Rahab's house. So I don't know. But I want you to get a very good visual of what's going on here, okay? It was crazy big. Now, mind you, there's probably 600,000 Israelite men that are there. And they're walking up to the city thinking, wow, look at those walls. The same thing that the spies had told them. Wow, those walls are huge. Yeah, it flows with milk and honey, but we can't get in there. So we're going to pick up in 6. And I'm going to read 1 through 5 here real quick. And then my illustrators will help me in a minute. It says, now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. You shall do this for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before them. God's talking to Joshua, and he tells him, do something that would be fairly familiar, because when you besiege a city, they would surround it, right? They would kind of go all the way around it. That's the idea of besieging a city, is nothing can go in, nothing can come out. So eventually you starve them to death, because no food can come in, no food can go out. Now that could take years, but that's what they're to do. They're to go around the city. What doesn't really make sense just yet is they have to walk around it once a day, blowing horns. And on the 7th day, do it 7 times. Blow horns and shout. So I'm trying to put myself in Joshua's shoes, and I hear God saying, do this, do this, do this. And then so I'm recalling in my memory, he said, go out, step into the Jordan, and the waters will stop. Okay, so now he's got trust. He's got faith. Have you ever been there before where God told you to do something absolutely ridiculous, but you did, and he made something awesome out of it? It's just so awesome and amazing to be a part of when you just finally submit, and you're like, okay, God, I don't get what you're saying. Why would I walk around a city 6 or 7 times, and the walls would fall down? 52 feet full of walls just fall down because I walked around it and blew a horn? Because we're men, right? And we think, I did that. I walked around. Well, I did that. Do you see me? Walked around, blew the horn, walls come down. So he tells him to do something that sounds completely, completely silly. And I want you to see this. He says, it's in verse 2. He says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. And then he goes on and tells him what he has to do. God could have stopped right there and said, see, I've given you this city. Just go take it. But he didn't. He said, see, I've given you this city. But then he called them to do something else. He called them to an obedient act in faith. He called them, he said, now, get your priest and walk around. So picking up in 6, so Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord went forward blowing the trumpets. All right, I need help. Y'all did awesome. I'm so proud of you. All right. So now I want you to put yourself inside the city. You're not done, Shelby. Put yourself inside the city. Alright? So now you're in the city and you got these fools walking around blowing horns. What are you thinking? You're looking at, because before, you know, the scripture says they were scared of the Israelites. Now I'm mocking them. If I'm inside Jericho, I'm like, their fighting men are blowing horns. Feeling pretty secure with myself right now. Right? So they did. They walked around. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark. While the trumpets blew continually, but Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out from your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." Shouting is done a couple times. We shout at ball games a lot, right? We shout in excitement, and we shout in anger. But it almost all sounds the same. If you think about it, it really kind of makes the same kind of pitch, the same kind of noise. This one's going to be a shout in excitement. And I don't want to give away too much just yet, but I want you to know that these people, they're wandering around a city once, and then they go and they camp. Can you imagine being at the campfire? What'd y'all do? I don't know, walked around the city. Priests were blowing horns, and I don't know, carried my spear. Couldn't say nothing. Couldn't shout. Heard the people inside that was mocking me. Pretty aggravated with that. You know, what are they thinking? What are they doing? You know, they've got to be, if they're anything like me, questioning, what are we doing? Because nowhere here has Joshua revealed that God told him what's going to happen. Joshua hasn't told his people, hey, just trust me, this will end up well. These people had complete faith and trust in their leader because they knew that that leader had a direct line to God. They knew that that leader had submitted himself to the Lord. And that's what it takes to really follow in Christ's footsteps. It takes a submission of self. It takes you saying, okay, I don't get it, but I'm going to do it anyway because you said so. Those are my favorite words. And it's just my cop-out, I guess, of anything. Why are you doing that? Well, God said so. It just seems very simple to me. I'm a very simplistic man as I look at the gospel, as I look at the scriptures. You know, if he said to do something absolutely ridiculous, I'm just going to do it because I've spent enough time in my life not doing it. And I see where that's wound me up. Right? And these people have as well. These people have spent 40 years outside of God because they kept doing what they wanted to do and they weren't really listening, right? So they... Wilderness. Hey, I remember that mountain. We saw that 2 years ago. Hey, I remember that. Right? So for 40 years, they're walking around. But now here they are, and they're outside of Jericho. And they're still walking. They're still walking. So he calls the ark. I'm on 11. He calls the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about at once. And they came into the camp and spent the night. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. And the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them. All right, I need help again. They're blowing their ram's horns continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. And on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned it to the camp. And so they did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they rose early. And the dawn of the day, they marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, and all that was within it shall be devoted to the Lord. I'm sorry. And that seventh time when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Help me.
Woo! Yeah, baby! Yeah! Praise God! We own it.
You guys are weak. I love you. I'm teasing. Yes. So they're excited. They're blown. All right, y'all can sit down. Thank you. So they blew their horns. They walked around seven times that day. They blew their horns and they shouted, and the walls come down. I wanted to talk to you about the number seven for just a second. The number seven, it occurs in verse 4, like four times, and 14 times in the entire chapter. So evidently the number seven is pretty important here, right? It's a number of totality, of completion, of perfection in the Scriptures. Its predominance in this chapter emphasizes the completeness of God's victory. God is finally victorious on Israel's behalf. Seven is a lot. You know what can happen in 7 days? You know what can happen in 7 weeks? 7 months? 7 years? 7 hours? 7 seconds. Seven brings everything around full circle. I named the sermon Lucky Seven, and I was just playing on the Gamblers Anonymous, but really, it really is kind of a lucky number. And that's where it gets it's derived from the Bible. That's why seven is lucky for people. It's because it's the Lord's completion. Now, I want you to just think for a second. These people have been walking around for 40 years, and now they walk around the city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they have to do it seven times. How many of them were tired? How many of them were hungry? How many of them were hot? How many of them were cold? How many of them were sweaty, annoyed, happy, excited, scared? What emotions were they going through? But they were doing it. And they're walking around. Can you imagine, like, on the fifth lap, like, dude, I'm not doing this again. This for 6 days and nothing happened. Why am I going to... Let's just do what everybody else does. Run up the ramp and kick in the door. Can we do that? What would have happened if they would have stopped? What would have happened if these people would have stopped walking around the walls of Jericho? What if they got to six? I've heard this sermon. I've heard this scripture preached before, and the pastor really got stuck on this. And I want to bring this point to your light too. What if they stopped on six? They were so close. They went around all the time, six times, and then they just get fed up with it and they stop. What about if they're going through this life and they're so tired of doing the right thing, and finally they just stop, even though they know that's what God told them to do, they just stop doing it. And if they would have just went that one more lap, the glory and the blessing that would have came through that. What I want you to do today is do not stop on six. Do not stop on six. I know this life is rough. I know this life is tough. Trust me, I'm feeling some weight myself. But you can't stop. If you stop moving, if you stop following the Lord, He is not going to be able to do much with you. He's going to have to meet you where you're at. And if you're completely stopped and stagnant, that's where you're at. He's going to need you to do something for Him. He's going to need you to take that next step. Now, all the stuff, the body armor and the ark and everything they were carrying, it was heavy, it was burdensome. So is being a Christian. At some point and sometimes in your life, it is heavy. It is burdensome. But it is rewarding, it is fulfilling, and it is glorifying. Not for you, but for Him. Imagine what the people of Jericho would have thought of our God if those Israelites would have stopped. They would have thought, wow, He is not the God that they thought He was. He is not as powerful as they thought He was. Imagine what the people of your life would think if you stopped about your God. If you stopped following Him today, what would they think? It scares me because there's so many people that have allowed false teachings or false prophets or whatever you want to call it come into their lives and to divert them one way from the next and keep them from following and doing what they were told to do. Joshua didn't tell his people what to do because they didn't need to know. God doesn't always reveal the entire plan to us because honestly, we don't need to know. We just need that one little glimpse. And if we continue to follow and continue to do what He has told us to do, the walls of our problems, of our lives, of our troubles will come crashing down just like the walls of Jericho. So I'm going to read this again. On the seventh day, they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they had marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers from whom we sent. But you, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it." He says, okay, you're going into a new city. There's going to be some things in here that maybe you haven't seen before. Maybe you have. Do not take those things and devote them to the Lord. Don't bring them to your camp, because those are going to be destruction. We're going on this journey of life, of faith, and we're going to encounter new things each and every time. And when we get there, we need to be able to discern, is this something I should bring back to my camp? Is this something I should bring back home with me? Is this something I should bring to my people? Because if it can't be devoted to the Lord, it's going to be devoted for your destruction. The only way to discern that is to know our God and know His will and to know Him intimately. Not know His name, but know Him. And it takes more than belief. So many people, you know, I'll say, tell me about God. And they'll say, well, I believe there's a God. Good, so do demons. But what I'm trying to get at is, tell me about God, your God. Is your God my God? Because here's the God that I know. The God that I know is powerful, is graceful, loving, compassionate. You know, if you were here on Father's Day, we went through a whole big list of what He is. He is just. And this is Him getting justice for His people. Then they devoted in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old oxen, sheep and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." Here's what I want you to see from this little spot, and then we'll wrap this up. Rahab was living in a city that was going to be destructive. Now, she had a job that was sketchy at best. She was definitely a sinner. Definitely one of those people that you just probably wouldn't want to associate with. But she was able to do right. And she was spared for it. She lived in this time period. She lived in this city that was going to be destroyed, and she was found right. She was the one, and everyone in her house, that was found righteous in the Lord. I pray that that's our church. I pray that that's our house, that's our family. That as we live in this city or as this place of destruction, that we are found to be right. And all that inhabit it, and all that we bring in, and all that we send out, that we are found to be righteous with the Lord because that we have been obedient and know His will, even though it's full of sinners. We can still do what's right. And God says that He sent His Son even while we were sinners for the salvation of our soul. So even while we were still sinning, he knew that. And he said, okay, I'm going to send you a Savior. All you have to do is accept Him. All you have to do is follow Him. And Jesus asked for, he says two words to people, follow me. Will you follow Him? Will you follow Him around this track of life? Will you follow Him around the walls of Jericho 6 or 7 times? Or will you get so tired and just stop? I mean, you know, how easy would it have been to defect there? To just throw down your stuff and walk off. Throw down your stuff and walk in. How easy would that have been for them? But they didn't. They remained faithful, even though they didn't understand all that they were doing. They walked around the walls, and the walls came crumbling down. And Joshua and his people were victorious and put to death everyone and everything. Guys, don't stop on 6. I know it's tough. I know you get to these spots in your life and you're just like, I cannot do another lap. I just can't. I'm so tired, worn down, frustrated. Whatever you're feeling, don't stop. Do not stop. So imagine what would happen when He prevails for you and for Himself. So it's my prayer this morning that we can go with one another through life. We can go and encourage one another, because I bet if there was someone grumbling as they walk around the walls, that someone was there and said, just chill. I'll help you. I'll carry your stuff. Just walk with me. They came alongside one another and they walked around the walls. I would ask you to come alongside someone and walk through life with them. Because there's going to be times they need you and there's going to be times you need them. And we cannot do this alone. Christianity was not made to be done alone. Don't be too proud to say, I need help, either. Don't be too proud to ask for your brother or sister to come and just walk with you. Even if that's literally just going for a walk together or whatever that looks like. Don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to offer that assistance to someone. If you see and you know that someone is in trouble or is hurting, in a lovingly manner, approach them and say, hey, what are you dealing with? How can I help you? Because every one of us that stops before the end, before God's completion, is just another one lost. And let's say He comes back right now. How many people did we let go ourselves? How many people did we not walk with ourselves? I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too deep, but I put that burden on myself. I just know that one day God promised He's coming back, and I just assume it's tomorrow. Every day I just assume it's tomorrow. And I try to live my life like today is the last day I'm going to see that person. And I just try to pour Christ or God into their lives that much. Because what if that is when? And I want you to live your life like that. What if tomorrow is the day? Are you ready? I'm not one of those, hey, if you die today, are you going to heaven or hell? But I want to ask you, are you ready? And what if not, how can I get you there? How can we help you? In a minute, there's going to be a few guys down here standing in front of you. And we're just going to offer ourselves up to you to pray with you, to help walk alongside you, to lead you, to love you as Christ has shown us to love. So as we, I'm done. I'm going to close us in prayer. I'm going to have the guys. I'm going to have a couple of the elders come up front. I'll be up front, and I just want to pray with you or offer that to you. If you want prayer, or if you need prayer, or if you just want to praise, we love to praise God. If you want to lift a praise up, we're up here. So let's close in prayer.
God, I pray that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, and that you would build us up, Lord. Strengthen us so that we do not stop before your completion. That we can continue on this journey, even though we may not see the end, but you do. Lord, I just pray that we can keep our eyes focused on you, and that we can follow you with an open heart, and that we can help walk alongside others that are trying to do the same. God, I thank you for our church. I thank you for our congregation and our community. And Lord, I just pray that as we go out into the community, that we're able to reflect you well, and that we're able to walk alongside someone else and lead them back to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.